Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Welcome to the Deep Dive, powered by the Remedify Coaching Program. Today, we're doing a deep dive that's really designed to empower you. Whether you're just thinking about starting out as an entrepreneur, or maybe you're looking to seriously grow an online business you already have, our whole mission here is to, you know, cut through the noise. We want to deliver the most impactful insights we can find. And today, we're looking at a really insightful piece. It's called How to Identify the Best Online Business Idea, and it just came out last week, Sunday, July 27th. So get ready. We're going to distill what really matters and hopefully help you build the confidence you need to launch or expand your business with some real clarity.
Exactly. And, you know, when you think about starting any kind of business journey, whether it's a physical store, a brick and mortar place, or maybe navigating the huge digital world, it's not just about having that great idea, right? It's about having the right tools, the right strategy. The source material we're digging into today, it introduces this really comprehensive business solutions framework. It's all built around giving you specific practical tools to help you start your own business. What's really interesting is how it maps out all the different kinds of support available. I mean, it covers everything from setting up a physical shop, maybe if you're thinking hybrid, all the way through to using powerful digital channels. It really highlights things like high-paying affiliate programs and, critically, gives solid guidance on how to strategically pick and launch the best online business ideas. It frames it like equipping you for, well, whatever path you choose.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that toolkit a bit, especially the digital side, because, let's be honest, that's where a lot of the opportunity is, but also maybe where things get confusing. Using fast, the sources, they don't just mention online influence vaguely. They really drill down into how you can actually make money from your digital presence. Hmm. They list specific platforms, sure, but not just as names. Like, take how to start a blog, make money your influence online.
Hmm.
The article isn't just saying start a blog. It's positioning blogging as like a long-term asset for building authority, making direct sales, emphasizing consistency, not just trying to go viral. Mm. And then you've got the big social media players, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Google, Pinterest. What the source really gets into here is the strategic angle for making money on each one, which often gets missed. Mm. For instance, Pinterest, people often see it as just, you know, pictures and ideas.
Right, like a mood board.
Exactly. But the source explains how it's actually a powerful visual search engine for things like affiliate marketing, if you understand its unique SEO, or YouTube. How long-form content, if it's tied to a really specific value proposition, can actually beat short-form for generating leads. That's kind of counterintuitive, right?
Yeah, it can be, especially with everyone chasing short video trends.
So it's about seeing these platforms not just as places to post stuff, but as, like, distinct ecosystems for revenue.
And, well, beyond just the content platforms for building influence, the source gets really specific about the foundational digital tools, the ones you absolutely need for any serious online business. These are the practical things, the infrastructure that makes everything else work. It categorizes them clearly, too, like landing pages and email marketing. These aren't just buzzwords. The source highlights them as the main way to capture leads and, you know, build relationships with customers over time. It stresses automation and personalization here.
So not just collecting emails, but actually nurturing them.
Precisely. Then there's SEO software tools and CRM software. SEO tools, the article suggests, are like your compass online. They show you exactly what your potential customers are looking for. And CRM, customer relationship management software, that's presented as just essential if you want to scale your outreach in a personal way, interact efficiently, and make sure no leads slip through the cracks. It also gets into webinar software and podcast hosting, great ways to engage your audience, deliver high-value content, build a community, and for making things look good. Video editing software and social media tools are pointed out for creating professional visuals and managing your brand story consistently across all your channels. The main takeaway here, I think, is that these tools aren't just costs, they're strategic investments. Mm-hmm. They seriously boost your ability to attract customers, convert them, and keep them coming back.
That makes perfect sense. They're the gears of the whole machine, really.
Mm-hmm.
And building on that, the sources keep going, outlining even more practical tools, stuff that's vital for actually setting up and, importantly, scaling your online presence. We're talking core things like website builders and web hosting services. That's basically your digital shopfront and the land it sits on, right?
Yeah, the foundation.
The article stresses picking solutions that give you flexibility to grow, but are also, you know, secure, robust.
Yeah.
And then if you're selling products or maybe sharing knowledge, things like e-commerce platforms and online courses are called out as absolutely essential. The source dives into how platforms, say, like Shopify or Teachable, they aren't just places to sell. They're whole ecosystems for managing inventory, payments, even student engagement. It all ties back to this idea of building something solid and scalable, something that can grow with you, not hold you back. And interestingly, the source doesn't just stick to digital tools. It kind of acknowledges the connection between online and offline. It even touches on how optimizing a physical shop now setup or using supply chain opportunities, maybe through big retailers, can actually help an online business.
Right.
Especially if you're dealing with physical products.
That's a good point. A holistic view.
Yeah, it's a surprisingly broad look at all the resources an entrepreneur might actually need. Okay, now let's shift gears. Let's get to the absolute core of today's deep dive. It's that article, How to Start an Online Business, How to Identify the Best Online Business Idea. This piece really focuses in on what it calls validating your business idea, a strategic approach. You know, when you have that exciting new idea, it's just so tempting to just jump in and start building.
Oh, definitely. The urge is strong.
But the source makes a really powerful case for hitting pause first. From your read, what's the biggest maybe misconception people have about this whole validation thing?
Yeah.
How does the source push back on that? Because it specifically says this approach saves you time, resources, and heartache.
That's a great question. And yeah, the source tackles that directly. I think the biggest misconception is that validation is like a one-time thing, a gate you pass through, or that you need a fully finished product to do it. The article just blows that idea up. Instead, it argues validation is an ongoing process. It's about constant, rigorous, small-scale testing.
Ongoing, okay, not just a checkbox.
Not at all. It starts by breaking down those first crucial steps, beginning with write down goals, assumptions, and hypotheses. Now, this isn't just busy work. Your goals define your vision, right? What value does your product really offer? Your assumptions are what you believe about your audience, the market, how you're different. Like, you might assume people will pay X for this service.
Okay.
Your hypotheses then become the testable statements based on those assumptions. If we offer this service at X price, we predict Y percent will sign up.
Oh.
This first step is all about defining what you think is true before you spend time and money testing it. It gives you a clear map of what you need to check. It stops you from, you know, building this amazing solution to a problem nobody actually has.
Yeah, I can totally see how laying that groundwork avoids so much wasted effort, so much frustration later. Okay, once you've got those foundational ideas down, the next step the source details is assess market size and share. This seems like where you put some real numbers to your vision, right? Moving past just assumptions to hopefully some hard data.
Exactly. Data is key here.
The article emphasizes figuring out the total addressable market. Basically, how many potential customers actually exist for what you're offering. And then you have to realistically estimate what slice of that pie you could capture, considering who else is out there and what resources you have. It forces you to ask, are there enough customers to actually build a sustainable business? Like your example earlier, if you're targeting, I don't know, left-handed underwater basket weavers, the market might be just too tiny to scale.
Right. Might be passionate, but small.
This step seems critical because it helps justify actually launching.
Right.
And thinking about growth. If the market's too small or your potential share is minuscule, the source suggests maybe it's time to rethink or pivot now, not after investing everything.
And assuming that market analysis looks promising, the next step is, well, it's probably one of the most powerful concepts in modern business. Create a minimum viable product, MVP. The article doesn't just say an MVP is a basic version. It argues it's the ultimate way to reduce risk.
Risk reduction, okay.
Yeah. It emphasizes building the absolute smallest thing that actually delivers your core promise. Not perfectly, but enough to gather real data about whether people want it, whether it's desirable. The point isn't to say build a super polished app straight away. If your idea is maybe a personalized meal planning service, your MVP could just be a simple PDF plan you email to a small test group long before you write any code.
So testing the solution, not necessarily the fancy tech version of it.
Precisely. It's about validating if people value the solution itself. The source really warns against that common trap of over-engineering the MVP. Simplicity and getting it out there quickly for testing are the most important things at this stage.
That distinction, validating the solution versus the finished product, that feels really key.
Mm-hmm.
And okay, the journey doesn't stop once you have an MVP out there. The article moves right into gather feedback and iterate.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like where the real refinement happens.
Absolutely. This is crucial.
You're actively talking to those early users, the ones who tried your MVP, getting their honest thoughts, their insights. The emphasis here seems to be on creating this continuous loop, right? Feedback drives changes.
A constant loop. Build, test, learn, refine.
Yeah. Asking specific questions like, what problem does this actually solve for you? Or maybe, what was missing? What did you wish it could do? And then using that feedback to keep making the offering better and better. The source really paints this as a cycle, which feels way more efficient, way more effective than just building something in secret and hoping people like it. It's fundamentally customer focused.
And working right alongside that feedback loop, the source really hammers home the importance of understanding both your customers and your competitors. Two sides of the same coin, really. First, understand your target audience. This means doing real market research, not just guessing. You've got to figure out exactly who your ideal customers are, their demographics, sure, but also their habits, their values, and most importantly, what specific pain points they have that you can genuinely solve.
So empathy is important here.
Huge. It's not just about finding a market segment. It's about understanding the people in it. Then you analyze competition. Study the rivals who are doing well, not just to copy them, obviously,
right,
but to learn from their strategies, see what they do well, and crucially, spot the gaps. Where are the opportunities they're missing? Maybe they serve a really broad audience, which leaves a specific niche wide open for you. Having both insights, deep customer understanding, and competitor awareness lets you tailor your offer perfectly and carve out your own unique space, your defensible spot in the market.
Okay, and looking beyond the immediate launch, the article guides us to consider scalability and long-term viability.
Mm.
So this isn't just about getting started. It's about planning for growth, right? Building something that lasts.
Exactly. Thinking ahead.
You need to assess if your business idea can actually grow in a sustainable way, which involves looking at your operations, figuring out the infrastructure you'll need later. Like, can your tools and processes handle 10 times the customers? 100 times?
Big question.
Yeah, really thinking about that long-term potential. And tied into that is test pricing and revenue models.
Mm.
The source encourages actually experimenting with different price points, seeing what works best to your audience and keeps the business profitable. And crucially, it also suggests looking beyond just selling one thing one time, exploring different income streams.
Specification.
Yeah, things like subscriptions, maybe ads, partnerships, freemium models, stuff that can provide more stability, more resilience, and maybe even faster growth. It's about building a strong financial engine, not just relying on single sales.
And finally, to really gauge interest and validate demand before you go all in, the source recommends you build a landing page or prototype. This is a practical, often low-cost way to just describe what you're offering simply and then see if people are actually interested. You measure it through signups, maybe for a waitlist or inquiries about a beta test.
Like sticking your toe in the water.
Exactly. It's your first real market temperature check. And critically, throughout this entire validation journey, the advice is to seek expert advice and mentorship. Connecting with people who've been there, done that, experienced entrepreneurs, industry experts, their insights are invaluable. Their perspective might strongly confirm your assumptions, which gives you confidence, or
challenge them.
Constructively, yes, prompting those necessary tweaks that save you from making really costly mistakes later on. And the source really drives home this message. Validation isn't just a single event. It's an ongoing process.
Yeah.
And having the wisdom, the flexibility to be open to pivoting if needed, that is just paramount for long-term success. You have to be agile, respond to what the market actually tells you.
Okay, well, so what does all this mean for you, the listener, as you're thinking about moving forward?
All these incredible tools, these strategic frameworks, these validation techniques we've just talked about, they're all part of a bigger picture, a larger ecosystem really designed to empower your journey as an entrepreneur. If you're looking for even more resources, maybe a deeper dive into everything we've covered today, from picking that initial idea to setting up the tech buddy, definitely make sure to visit www.pnmoneymaking.com. You'll find a whole wealth of business development tools and aids there specifically designed to help you launch and grow your own business.
Yeah, and building on that, it's really quite insightful how the source connects all these detailed business strategies back to the broader philosophy of the Remedify coaching program itself. It actually highlights a free Remedify health coaching program and makes this really profound but often forgotten statement: your health is your wealth.
That really resonates. It does. And it's not just a catchy phrase, is it? It's a vital reminder that your physical well-being, your mental health, they are absolutely crucial if you want to succeed as an entrepreneur. You could have the most brilliant idea, the best tools, a perfectly validated plan, but if you're not well enough to actually do the work, if you're fighting burnout or just mentally drained,
your business suffers.
Exactly. Your venture just won't reach its potential. The program clearly gets that being an entrepreneur is a marathon, not a sprint. It requires looking at the whole picture, integrating your personal well-being right alongside your business strategy.
And that's precisely why the Remedify coaching program and this deep dive series really emphasizes continuous learning and support. The source material we looked at today hints at so many other related topics and resources, even beyond just idea validation. It really shows the breadth of what the program offers. It touches on practical advice like, you know, how to measure success properly, common mistakes people make in certain niches, specific guides for platforms like Shopify, or even detailed plans for starting a business when you don't have a lot of funding.
Covering a lot of ground.
It really is. It feels like a comprehensive ecosystem designed to support you at every single stage of your entrepreneurial path, from that first spark of an idea all the way to sustained growth. So to kind of wrap things up for today, our deep dive has really highlighted two fundamental things for anyone looking to start or grow a business. First, the absolute importance of thorough, ongoing business idea validation. Don't skip that step.
Couldn't agree more.
And second, the huge array of strategic tools and support systems out there that are available to help you every step of the way. And maybe a final thought to leave you with. Remember, the best business idea isn't just about being innovative or having that eureka moment. It's really about persistent validation, having the courage to adapt when needed, and building the resilience to just keep going on the journey. As you continue on your own entrepreneurial path, remember that knowledge, the right resources, and yes, your own well-being, those are your greatest assets. Please visit www.pnmoneymaking.com for more business tools that can help you start your own business. And also, don't forget to check the episode description. We've put more resources there that can help you, number one, start your own business, and number two, take care of your health. Both are critical. Thank you so much for listening to the Remedify Coaching Program Tools to Help You Start Your Own Business podcast. Best of luck on your entrepreneurial journey.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.